14.
And yet, any who know me will realize that there was no chance I would give up so easily. Once I find something to investigate, I become dogged in my pursuit.
The terrace woman snapped her bonds and the ropes dropped to the floor.
Vin?
Ellen said, beginning to wonder about the logic of meeting with this woman.
Perhaps it's time you came in.
She's not actually there,
the terrace woman said offhandedly, walking forward.
She left a few minutes ago to do her rounds. That is why I let myself be caught.
I see, Ellen said. I'll be calling for the guards now.
Don't be a fool, the terrace woman said. If I wanted to kill you, I could do it before the others got back in. Now be quiet for a moment.
Ellen stood uncomfortably as the tall woman walked around the table in a slow circle, studying him as a merchant might inspect a piece of furniture up for auction. Finally she stopped, placing her hands on her hips.
Stand up straight, she commanded.
Excuse me?
You're slouching, the woman said. A king must maintain an air of dignity at all times, even with his friends.
Ellen frowned.
Now, while I appreciate advice, I don't...
No, the woman said. Don't hedge. Command.
Excuse me? Ellen said again.
The woman stepped forward, placing a hand on his shoulder and pressing his back firmly to improve his posture. She stepped back, then nodded slightly to herself.
Now see, Ellen said, I don't...
No,
the woman interrupted.
You must be stronger in the way that you speak. Presentation, words, actions, postures, will determine how people judge you and react to you. If you start every sentence with softness and uncertainty, you will seem soft and uncertain. Be forceful.
What is going on here? Ellen demanded, exasperated.
There, the woman said. Finally.
You said that you know Sazed,
Ellen asked, resisting the urge to slouch back into his earlier posture.
He is an acquaintance, the woman said. My name is Tyndall. I am, as you have guessed, a keeper of Terrace.
She tapped her foot for a moment, then shook her head.
Sazed warned me about your slovenly appearance, but I honestly assumed that no king could have such a poor sense of self-presentation.
Slovenly? Ellen asked. Excuse me?
Stop saying that, Tyndall snapped. Don't ask questions. Say what you mean. If you object, object. Don't leave your words up to my interpretation.
Yes, well, while this is fascinating, Ellen said, walking toward the door, I'd rather avoid further insults this evening. If you'll excuse me.
Your people think you are a fool, Ellen Venture,
Tyndall said quietly. Ellen paused.
The Assembly, a body you yourself organized, ignores your authority. The Ska are convinced that you won't be able to protect them. Even your own Council of Friends makes their plans in your absence, assuming your input to be no great loss.
Ellen closed his eyes, taking a slow, deep breath.
You have good ideas, Ellen Venture, Tyndall said. Regal ideas. However, you are not a king. A man can only lead when others accept him as their leader, and he has only as much authority as his subjects give to him. All of the brilliant ideas in the world cannot save your kingdom if no one will listen to them.
Ellen turned.
This last year I've read every pertinent book on leadership and governance in the 4 libraries.
Tyndall raised an eyebrow.
Then I suspect that you spent a great deal of time in your room that you should have been out, being seen by your people, and learning to be a ruler.
Books have great value, Ellen said.
Actions have greater value.
And where am I to learn the proper actions?
From me.
Ellen paused.
You may know that every keeper has an area of special interest, Tyndall said. While we all memorize the same store of information, one person can only study and understand a limited amount of that store. Our mutual friend Sazed spends his time on religions.
And your specialty?
Biographies, she said. I have studied the lives of generals, kings, and emperors, whose names you have never heard. Understanding theories of politics and leadership, Ellen Venture, is not the same as understanding the lives of men who lived such principles.
And you can teach me to emulate those men?
Perhaps, Tyndall said. I haven't yet decided whether or not you're a hopeless case. But I am here, so I will learn what I can. A few months ago I received a letter from Sazed, explaining your predicament. He did not ask me to come to train you. But then, Sazed is perhaps another man who could learn to be more forceful.
Elland nodded slowly, meeting the terrace woman's eyes.
Will you accept my instruction, then? She asked.
Elland thought for a moment. If she's anywhere near as useful as Sazed, then, well, I could certainly use some help at this.
I will, he said.
Tyndall nodded.
Sazed also mentioned your humility. It could be an asset, assuming you don't let it get in the way. Now, I believe that your Mistborn has returned.
Elland turned toward the side window. The shutter swung open, allowing mist to begin streaming into the room and revealing a crouching, cloaked form.
How did you know I was here?
Vin asked quietly. Tyndall smiled, the first such expression Ellen had seen on her face.
Sazed mentioned you as well, child. You and I should speak soon, in private, I think.
Vin slipped into the room, drawing mist in behind her, then closed the shutter. She didn't bother to hide her hostility or mistrust as she put herself between Elland and Tyndall.
Why are you here? Vin demanded.
Tyndall smiled again.
It took your king there several minutes to get to that question, and here you ask it after a few bare moments. You are an interesting couple, I think.
Vin's eyes narrowed.
Regardless, I should withdraw, Tyndall said. We shall speak again, I assume, Your Majesty?
Yes, of course, Ellen said. Is there anything I should begin practicing?
Yes, Tyndall said, walking to the door. Stop saying
Right.
Ham poked his head in the door as soon as Tyndall opened it. He immediately noticed her discarded bonds. He didn't say anything, however. He likely assumed that Ellen had freed her.
I think we're done for the night, everyone, Ellen said. Ham, would you see that Mistress Tyndall is given quarters in the palace? She's a friend of Sazed's.
Ham shrugged.
All right, then.
He nodded to Vin, then withdrew. Tyndall did not bid them good night as she left. Vin frowned, then glanced at Ellen. He seemed distracted.
I don't like her, she said.
Ellen smiled, stacking up the books on his table.
You don't like anyone when you first meet them, Vin.
I liked you.
Thereby demonstrating that you are a terrible judge of character. Vin paused, then smiled. She walked over and began picking through the books. They weren't typical Ellen fare, far more practical than the kinds of things he usually read.
How did it go tonight? She asked. I didn't have much time to listen.
Ellen sighed. He turned, sitting down on the table, looking up at the massive rose window at the back of the room. It was dark, its colors only hinted as reflections in the black glass.
It went well, I suppose.
I told you they'd like your plan. It's the sort of thing they'll find challenging.
I suppose, Ellen said.
Vin frowned.
All right, she said,
hopping up to stand on the table. She sat down beside him.
What is it?
Is it something that woman said?
What did she want, anyway?
Just to pass on some knowledge, he said. You know how keepers are, always wanting an ear to listen to their lessons.
I suppose, Vin said slowly. She hadn't ever seen Elland depressed, but he did get discouraged. He had so many ideas, so many plans and hopes, that she sometimes wondered how he kept them all straight. She would have said that he lacked focus. Renard always said that focus kept a thief alive. Ellen's dreams, however, were so much a part of who he was. She doubted he could discard them. She didn't think she would want him to, for they were part of what she loved about him.
They agreed to the plan, Vin, Ellen said, still looking up at the window. They even seemed excited, like you said they'd be. It's just, I can't help thinking that their suggestion was far more rational than mine. They wanted to side with one of the armies, giving it our support in exchange for leaving me as a subjugated ruler in Luthadel.
That would be giving up, Vin said.
Sometimes giving up is better than failing. I just committed my city to an extended siege. That will mean hunger, perhaps starvation, before this is over with.
Vin put a hand on his shoulder, watching him uncertainly. Usually, he was the one who reassured her.
It's still a better way, she said. The others probably just suggested a weaker plan because they thought you wouldn't go along with something more daring.
No, Elland said. They weren't pandering to me, Vin. They really thought that making a strategic alliance was a good, safe plan.
He paused, then looked at her.
Since when did that group represent the reasonable side of my government?
They've had to grow, Vin said. They can't be the men they once were, not with this much responsibility.
Ellen turned back toward the window.
I'll tell you what worries me, Vin. I'm worried that their plan wasn't reasonable. Perhaps it itself was a bit foolhardy. Perhaps making an alliance would have been a difficult enough task. If that's the case, then what I'm proposing is just downright ludicrous.
Vin squeezed his shoulder.
We fought the Lord Ruler.
You had Kelsier then.
Not that again.
I'm sorry, Ellen said, but really, Vin, maybe my plan to try and hold on to the government is just arrogance. What was it you told me about your childhood? When you were in the thieving crews and everyone was bigger, stronger, and meaner than you, what did you do? Did you stand up to the leaders?
Memories flashed in her mind. Memories of hiding, of keeping her eyes down, of weakness.
That was then, she said. You can't let others beat on you forever. That's what Kelsier taught me. That's why we fought the Lord Ruler. That's why the Ska Rebellion fought the Final Empire all those years, even when there was no chance of winning. Rhaen taught me that the rebels were fools. But Rhaen is dead now, and so is the Final Empire. And
she leaned down, catching Ellen's eyes.
You can't give up the city, Ellen, she said quietly. I don't think I'd like what that would do to you.
Ellen paused, then smiled slowly. You can be very wise sometimes, Vin.
You think that?
He nodded.
Well, she said, then obviously you're as poor a judge of character as I am.
Ellen laughed, putting his arm around her, hugging her against his side. So I assume the patrol tonight was uneventful? The mist spirit, her fall, the chill she could still feel, if only faintly remembered, in her forearm.
It was, she said.
The last time she'd told him of the mist spirit, he'd immediately thought she'd been seeing things. See, Ellen said, you should have come to the meeting. I would have liked to have had you here. She said nothing. They sat for a few minutes, looking up at the dark window. There was an odd beauty to it. The colors weren't visible because of the lack of backlight, and she could instead focus on the patterns of glass. Chips, slivers, slices, and plates, woven together within a framework of metal.
Ellen, she finally said, I'm worried.
I'd be concerned if you weren't, he said. Those armies have me so worried that I can barely think straight.
No,
Vin said.
Not about that. I'm worried about other things.
Like what?
Well, I've been thinking about what the Lord Ruler said right before I killed him. Do you remember?
Elland nodded. He hadn't been there, but she'd told him.
He talked about what he'd done for mankind,
Vin said.
He saved us, the stories say, from the deepness.
Elland nodded.
But, Vin said, what was the deepness? You were a nobleman. Religion wasn't forbidden to you. What did the ministry teach about the deepness and the Lord Ruler?
Elland shrugged. Not much, really. Religion wasn't forbidden, but it wasn't encouraged either. There was something proprietary about the ministry, an air that implied they would take care of religious things, that we didn't need to worry ourselves.
But they did teach you about some things, right?
Elland nodded. Mostly they talked about why the nobility were privileged and the Ska cursed. I guess they wanted us to understand how fortunate we were, though honestly I always found the teachings a little disturbing. See, they claimed that we were noble because our ancestors supported the Lord Ruler before the Ascension. But that means that we were privileged because of what other people had done. Not really fair, eh? Vin shrugged.
Fair as anything, I guess.
But didn't you get angry? Elland said. Didn't it frustrate you that the nobility had so much while you had so little?
I didn't think about it, Vin said. The nobility had a lot so we could take it from them. Why should I care how they got it? Sometimes when I had food, other thieves beat me and took it. What did it matter how I got my food? It was still taken from me.
Elland paused. You know, sometimes I wonder what the political theorists I've read would say if they met you. I have a feeling they'd throw up their hands in frustration. She poked him in the side.
Enough politics. Tell me about the deepness.
Well, I think it was a creature of some sort, a dark and evil thing that nearly destroyed the world. The Lord Ruler traveled to the Well of Ascension, where he was given the power to defeat the deepness and unite mankind. There are several statues in the city depicting the event. Vin frowned.
Yes, but they never really show what the deepness looked like. It's depicted as a twisted lump at the Lord Ruler's feet.
Well, the last person who actually saw the deepness died a year ago, so I guess we'll have to make do with the statues.
Unless it comes back, Vin said quietly.
Elland frowned, looking at her again. Is that what this is about, Vin? His face softened slightly. Two armies aren't enough. You have to worry about the fate of the world as well. Vin glanced down sheepishly, and Elland laughed, pulling her close. Ah, Vin. I know you're a bit paranoid. Honestly, considering our situation, I'm starting to feel the same. But I think this is one problem you don't have to worry about. I haven't heard any reports of monstrous incarnations of evil rampaging the land. Vin nodded, and Elland leaned back a bit, obviously assuming that he'd answered her question.
The Hero of Ages traveled to the Well of Ascension to defeat the deepness, she thought. But the prophecies all said that the hero shouldn't take the well's power for himself. He was supposed to give it. Trust in the power itself to destroy the deepness. Rashik didn't do that. He took the power for himself. Wouldn't that mean that the deepness was never defeated? Why then wasn't the world destroyed? The red sun and brown plants, Vin said. Did the deepness do that?
Still thinking about that? Elland frowned. Red sun and brown plants? What other colors would they be?
Kelsier said that the sun was once yellow and plants were green.
That's an odd image.
Caesar agrees with Kelsier, Vin said. The legends all say that during the early days of the Lord Ruler, the sun changed colors and ash began to fall from the skies.
Well, Elland said, I guess the deepness could have had something to do with it. I don't know, honestly. He sat musingly for a few moments. Green plants? Why not purple or blue? So odd.
The hero of ages traveled north, to the Well of Ascension, Vin thought again.
She turned slightly, her eyes drawn toward the terrace mountains so far away. Was it still up there? The Well of Ascension?
Did you have any luck getting information out of Orsir? Elland asked. Anything to help us find the spy?
Vin shrugged.
He told me that Chandra can't use allomancy.
So you can find our impostor that way? Elland said, perking up.
Maybe, Vin said. I can test Spook and Ham at least. Regular people will be more difficult. Though Chandra can't be soothed, so maybe that will let me find the spy.
That sounds promising, Elland said.
Vin nodded. The thief in her, the paranoid girl that Elland always teased, itched to use allomancy on him, to test him to see if he reacted to her pushes and pulls. She stopped herself. This one man she would trust. The others she would test, but she would not question Elland. In a way, she'd rather trust him and be wrong than deal with the worry of mistrust.
I finally understand, she thought with a start. Kelsier, I understand what it was like for you with Mare. I won't make your same mistake.
Elland was looking at her.
What?
She asked.
You're smiling, he said. Do I get to hear the joke?
She hugged him.
No,
she said simply. Elland smiled.
All right, then. You can test Spook and Ham, but I'm pretty sure the imposter isn't one of the crew. I talked to them all day, and they were all themselves. We need to search the palace staff.
He doesn't know how good Chandra can be.
The enemy Chandra had probably studied his victim for months and months, learning and memorizing their every mannerism.
I've spoken to Ham and Damu, Elland said. As members of the palace guard, they know about the bones, and Ham was able to guess what they were. Hopefully they can sort through the staff with minimal disturbance and locate the imposter.
Vin's senses itched at how trusting Elland was.
No, she thought. Let him assume the best. He has enough to worry about. Besides, perhaps the Chandra is imitating someone outside our core team. Elland can search that avenue. And if the imposter is a member of the crew, well, that's the sort of situation where my paranoia comes in handy.
Anyway, Elland said, standing, I have a few things to check on before it gets too late.
Vin nodded. He gave her a long kiss, then left. She sat on the table for a few moments longer, not looking at the massive rose window, but at the smaller window to the side, which she'd left slightly open. It stood, a doorway into the night. Mist churned in the blackness, tentatively sending tendrils into the room, evaporating quietly in the warmth.
I will not fear you, Vin whispered, and I will find your secret.
She climbed off the table and slipped out the window, back out to meet with Orsir, and do another check of the palace grounds.